AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, here we go. Friday night, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, the Big E Sports Show. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, guiding you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. And we are locked and loaded tonight. We've got a legendary coach. Dick Vermeil is going to be on the show tonight. Some PGA news and notes with our weekly guest, Larry Miller. And hanging out with the Big E tonight is my producer. Give him a follow on Twitter. At Brendan Riley _. Good evening, Brendan.
What's going on?
Hey, it's great to have you on the program. I know you love to talk NFL news and notes. You're a big Lions fan. But let's head out. Let's talk about the AFC North and the Browns. They are 2-5. Brendan, I wanted to get your reaction on Baker Mayfield. Just your level of concern with his attitude as he walked out of a media session earlier this week.
I don't really care at all. This is the guy that Baker Mayfield is. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. We give him a lot of credit for the passion he has when things are going well. I don't think it's an issue when things are going poorly. It's just he cares.
Well, there was a lot of talk about that. Perhaps he is too immature to be a franchise quarterback. What say you?
Again, he's too immature to be a franchise quarterback because they're losing. When he's winning, we love this attitude.
Well, he has had 12 interceptions this year. I mean, does he deserve the most blame for kind of this dysfunction that has taken place this year for the Browns? I mean, what were your expectations for the Browns this year?
So I've said it before on the show. I think the expectations were way too high. That being said, he has been really bad. I think some of it has to fall on coaching, too. You got to hope that this is not the player Baker Mayfield is. I don't think it is. We saw moments last year where he was great. Mm-hmm. I don't totally know why he looked so bad this year, but he has.
It sounds like, too, just listening to you, Brendan, like, are you a fan of his personality? I mean, just he is who he is.
I like personality. I think that that's something that we didn't have in sports for a long time. I think it makes sports a lot better. If you look at baseball, I loved two guys carrying their bats to first base. We need some of that personality. So, yeah, no, I do enjoy Baker.
Okay, give me another quick hit as we talk about the Browns and preview the Browns-Broncos on Sunday. They're on the road. The Browns are how do you see this game playing out?
They're both bad football teams. The Broncos are sitting Joe Flacco with a supposed injury for something named Brandon Allen. I think the Browns get a win. I don't got a whole lot else for you.
Our NFL news and notes will continue. Dick Vermeil, Super Bowl winning coach, up next at SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, powered and brought to you by our good friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Prepare for road trips before your travel begins. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, it is time for some NFL news and notes, and right now we're going to head to the NFC East, and we're going to focus on the Eagles, and we're delighted to have with us one of our favorites, and that is Super Bowl winning coach Dick Vermeil, who, oh, by the way, just celebrated his birthday this week. And Coach Vermeil, I know you and your lovely wife, Carol, you guys were enjoying probably a fine glass of Vermeil wine. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, those birthdays, you know, as they keep coming, you know, I wish they would stop. But it was an enjoyable experience sharing it with my family, believe me.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, listen, Coach, it's hard to believe we are already in week 9 of the NFL season, and your former team, the Eagles, will face the Bears on Sunday at home. And in the standings, they are second in the NFC East, and they have a 4-4 record. And quite frankly, it has just not been the season that we anticipated for the Eagles. So just kind of pinpoint and provide for us some of the major reasons why Philadelphia has struggled this year.
Well, the number one reason is that they've had too many injuries on defense. You know, they've based their success a lot on the defense over the last few years with a great pass rush and halfway decent coverage. Well, the secondary was depleted with injuries, and that's really hurt them. They're getting back now and healthier, so they're going to play better. The pass rush is not what it was a year ago, but it's still adequate to provide and I think present a good defense week in and week out from now on. They've lost some receivers for a while there. You know, Jackson is due back maybe this week.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're going to see the true Eagle team. You saw them last week against Buffalo, who was a 5-1 team, right? And now they're going against the Bears. They're a better football team than the Bears. They should beat them. But as you know, there are no guarantees.
You know, Dick, you're right. I mean, the Eagles have been hit hard by injuries, and that is good news with the return of DeSean Jackson. What does he bring to the table?
Well, speed, you know, and I think sometimes he eliminates certain coverage concepts in the secondary that they don't want to use because he's there, and they certainly aware of his ability to track the ball deep, you know, in the first game of the season against the Redskins. He caught a couple big ones downfield, you know, and he has caught more balls down beyond 50 yards than anyone else in the National Football League. So he brings a one-play scoring machine.
So glad you're with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We don't want to get too far into this interview. Connect with us, always live on Twitter. Join us at E Radio Sports. And you can go back and listen to our exclusive interview at podcastarena.com. That is with the Super Bowl winning coach, Dick Vermeil. So, Coach, let's continue talking some offense. How much blame does Carson Wentz deserve for the Eagles' struggles?
Well, initially they had some offensive line problems, which are solved now, but they, you know, very few quarterbacks play well when the offensive line is not playing well. But Carson, I think, back and playing strong. He was played very efficiently last week. He's still not completing
right.
as many passes percentage-wise as you would like him to, but he's, you know, he's 14 touchdowns to four interceptions, and that's a pretty darn good ratio. He's a winner. He's a winner. He's not a Rodgers in terms of the pure passer downfield, but he's a darn good one. And he has the great dimension of running like a big, strong tight end can. So, you know, yeah, he's smart. I don't think he has any limitations.
Well, you're exactly right. He didn't throw for a lot of yards against the Bills, and he was much more efficient. But what offensively needs to happen so that they can be firing on all cylinders?
Well, number one, the rookie left tackle playing on the left side there right now is got to continue to get better. You know, he'll get tested this week against the Bears, but he's hanging in there, and he's getting better. Peters may be back in a week or two. I don't know, the all-pro left tackle. But the offensive line has to play well. Johnson did not play well in the loss 2 weeks ago, and therefore the quarterback didn't play well against the Cowboys. So I think Carson is just go ahead and be himself, relax, understand what they want him to do and do it, and don't try to force the ball. Don't think he has to win the game on one play. And just go ahead and manage the game. And he's very capable of doing that. And I think if they do that, they'll win more than they lose over the rest of the season.
Okay, so here we are. We're at the midpoint of the NFL season. And if you were in head coach Doug Peterson's shoes, what would your message be to your team right now? Because there still is. I mean, Dick, there's plenty of time to turn this baby around, right?
Well, we're even, 4-4.
That's right.
And we're leaving. Okay. We're leaving that 4-4, starting with the Bears. And I think I would emphasize nothing further than the game we play. And everybody wants to talk about the playoffs way too soon. Radio, media, television, everybody wants to. They play the first game and talk about the playoffs. Just focus on your weekly assignment and get it done. And I really believe they'll be successful. And I mean, maybe only lose one or two more games.
Were you surprised that the Eagles decided to lay low at the trade deadline?
Well, you know, they keep talking about getting more out of the second-round pick from Stanford last year, the wide receiver, and they'd like to get more out of him. And, you know, Ertz isn't catching as many balls right now as he was catching last year, but, you know, he's catching more than most tight ends. I just think, you know, play smart football, don't turn it over, don't get greedy. Utilize those two running backs, you know, Howard and Saunders. Just utilize those guys. Let them play, balance the offense. And I just think if they stick to that plan and very close to it, if they have to throw more someday because mm-hmm. someone shuts them down, they'll throw more. But I think Doug is leaning to a little bit more balanced approach right now.
Okay, so the Eagles, as you'd mentioned, Dick, are coming off a 31-13 win against the Bills, and this week they're going to face the Bears, and the Bears have certainly had their share of struggles. They've lost three straight. What do you see are the keys in this particular matchup?
Well, Mitchell Trubisky, the quarterback, is not playing well. They moved up, got a first-round pick for him a year ago. He's had some good games so far this year. He's way off where he was last year. And I don't know if it's a confidence factor, same coaches. I don't know if it's a confidence factor or some players left in the offensive line. I don't know the Bears that well. But I know he is not playing that well. He's 64% complete. He's thrown five touchdowns, three interceptions. And he's just not efficient right now. And I know there's a lot of turmoil. And I don't know if it's turmoil, but there's a lot of discussion in Chicago about right now and Trubisky.
Are you surprised seeing the Bears struggle this season, 3-4? But last year, Coach Vermeil, they won 12 games before losing in the wild card round of the playoffs to the Eagles.
I am very surprised. I am very surprised. And as we all know, every year is a new year. You've got to prove you've got to prove yourself every year. And if you were really good last year, it's hard to prove, especially when you win 12 games. But everybody, I think, expected them to be better, with Trubisky getting a year under his belt. But so far, it has not materialized.
Legendary coach Dick Vermeil with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Okay, we highlighted one of your former teams with the Eagles and their big game on Sunday against the Bears. But we got to talk about the Chiefs and head out to the AFC West. And Patrick Mahomes, he's been hurt. They are 5-3. What do you think? Is he going to be starting this week against the Vikings?
Well, I think when he plays, they win. I really do. I think they can beat the Vikings. They can beat anybody when they play. I think the defense is slightly better than it was last year, and nobody was putting the ball downfield in yards per pass attempt like Mahomes was and Andy Reid's offense. And I just think if they get him healthy, and they're going to be very, very difficult to beat.
How much of his game will be compromised if he is not 100%? You're talking about getting him healthy, but what if he's not? Would you play him?
Well, if he's not 100%, you won't play him. Medically, they wouldn't allow you to play him. I just think if he is 100%, he will play. If he's not 100%, I would say, let's say, if he's not 90%, okay, they won't play him. If he's 90% or better, I think they'll go ahead and play him. Yeah.
Hey, we are wrapping up our time. Super Bowl winning coach, the great Dick Vermeil, with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. It's never too early for a prediction from Coach Vermeil. So give us that early prediction. Who's going to be in the Super Bowl this year, Coach?
Well, you have to start with New England.
There you go.
No, I say New England, and it's New Orleans and San Francisco.
Okay.
One of those two. My gosh, San Francisco is playing extremely well. What they did last week against Carolina, that doesn't happen very often.
And we'll just have to wait and see how that all plays out. Coach, listen, thank you so much for carving out some time this weekend, and we will reconvene and talk again real soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. We will.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. Join us live at Twitter. We love hearing from all of our listeners at eRadio Sports. You can email the show info@eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com, and of course our program being powered by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians counted on at O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, in our next segment here in Hour 1, we're going to completely shift gears. It's time to drop the puck. We're going to talk a little NHL. We're going to zero in on the Philadelphia Flyers, and delighted to welcome into the show for the very first time the Flyers beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Sam Carcitti is with us, and we extended this invitation because we want to get a team update, but we also want to highlight a new book that he has teamed up with our wonderful publisher, Triumph Books. It is titled The Men and Moments That Made the Philadelphia Flyers, The Big 50. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's wonderful to have you on the program. We don't get to talk a lot of NHL on our show, and so kind of get our audience up to speed. From what I understand for the Flyers, it's been a little bit already an up-and-down year, what they lost for, then they went on a streak and I guess won three or four. So give us an update on those first, 10 or so games.
Yeah, they're 5-5-1 off to a mediocre start, but they have a lot of depth in the farm system. In fact, today they recalled three players from the farm system, so they're going to give some young kids a chance. They have a pretty good blend of young players and veterans. They need to get the veterans going. Alain Vigneault is the new coach this year, and in a roundabout way, he called out some of the veterans today, Claude Giroux and Jake Voracek in particular. He said he needs more from them, and they also called up some players from the minor leagues. Rupsov was called up, and they called up Phil Myers, defenseman. So they'll have a different look. Carson Twinski was also called up. So they'll have a little different look when they play the New Jersey Devils tomorrow. But they're going through some growing pains right now. They have a new coach, a new system, so it's to be expected. And Carter Hart is one of the most promising young goalies in the league, and he also is going through some growing pains, and he'll start Friday's game in New Jersey, and he shut out the Devils for his only career shutout the last time. So, you know, it's an interesting team. As I said, they're trying to build and interject the veterans with some young guys, and it takes some time to meld together, and it takes some time when you have a new coach. But I think this team will improve over last year when they missed the playoffs, and they'll be battling for they'll probably be on the playoff bubble and be a team battling for a playoff spot, probably right to the end.
That's right. We're talking some NHL. We cover it all right here at SB Nation Radio. And it's interesting, you're talking about with the Flyers, they've got a new head coach, a lot of change that has taken place leading into the season. So have you modified your expectations? I mean, what do you think, and how are they building the culture this year, too, and coming together?
Yeah, the expectations I think now are probably what they were before the season started. As I said, I think they're a bubble team, which means, they're on the verge. They could just make the playoffs. They could just miss the playoffs. But I think they'll be a better team in the second half of the year as everybody grasps the new coach's system. And he's still kind of tinkering, the coach. I mean, it sounds funny when you've already played 11 games and nothing is really set, but that's what happens when you have a new coach. He really doesn't know these guys from the past, so he's tinkering with his line, tinkering with his pairings. He changed two pairings today. I think you're going to see a lot of experiments with the lineup for, at least another month or so until they figure it out. That's not always a bad thing because you learn how to play with different players you're going to have inevitable injuries during the season. So it could be a good thing to be able to play with different guys. And the negative is you don't get as much chemistry.
Hey, we're shining the spotlight on the Philadelphia Flyers. They reshuffled the deck. There's been some movement, some changes that took place in the offseason. But did the Flyers figure out goaltending?
Well, it looked like they had in the preseason. Looked like Carter Hart was going to be the guy. But he's been up and down. His first three games this year were terrific. His last three games, not so good. So they have Brian Elliott, a veteran. I think ideally they would like Hart to play maybe 50, 52 games and Brian Elliott, the veteran, to play the remaining 30 or 32. Elliott's 34 and has been around for a long time. Carter Hart's only 21. He was very impressive last year and played 31 games with the Flyers after they call him up from the AHL. And there's going to be growing pains, no question about it. The kid is talented. He moves really well post to post. He starred in junior. Kind of struggled a little bit in the AHL, his first pro season last year with the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. But after a month or so, he got it together. And then he had two, three real strong weeks, and they called him up. He performed admirably, and they expected that to carry over this year. But, you don't just snap your fingers and become an NHL star. Not many guys at 21 are in the NHL, let alone playing goalie at that age. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he is going to go through some growing pains, and then I think he's got the mental makeup to handle it. He's been seeing a sports psychologist since he's 11 or 12 years old, and he's kind of been programmed that he's going to be an NHL goalie someday, and he's got that to fall back on. He still talks to the sports psychologist, if not every day, every other day, and I think he'll keep him on the right path. And as I said, the main thing is this kid is very talented, and you know, I think he's going to be a very, very good player, if not a star player down the road. He certainly has the natural ability, and he works very hard. I think you know, he'll be the Flyers' answer to the long lost question. You know, who's the Flyers' goalie? Because they've had a rotating goalie here for probably three decades now. They've only had three really dominating goalies in their whole franchise history. Started with Bernie Perrin, later on was the late Pelle Lindbergh, who died tragically in a car crash, and then years later it was Ron Hextall in his first stint here. So there really hasn't been stability in that position, and I think Carter Hart will give it to him you know, over the next decade or so.
Mm-hmm. Just for minutes tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show, with Sam Carcitti, the sports writer with the Philadelphia Inquirer, has just penned a new book. It is titled The Men and Moments That Made the Philadelphia Flyers the Big 50. So when our listeners, they pick up a copy of this book, what are they going to find, Sam?
Yeah, what they're going to find, I guess, is this is a book that encompasses, you know, the Flyers from the start, 1967, all the way up to Carter Hart and Elaine Vigneault, you know, right now. It's not really a history book of the Flyers because they've been written, but, you know, we do update some of the veterans and what they've been doing over the years, the Bobby Clarks, the Bernie Perrins, and Brian Propp. Brian Propp was a big star for the Flyers and unfortunately underwent a stroke, I guess it's over a year ago now, and he talks quite candidly about that and how it changed his life, and we talk about Carter Hart and the challenges for him. We go behind the scenes and Dave Hackstall, who was fired last year, what really went on behind that, and you know, we talk about some of the young up and coming players, guys like Ivan Provorov and Shane Gostisbehere, and just quirky things too, even Gritty, the mascot. Mm-hmm. We have you know, some off the wall things. I guess my favorite chapter is probably one on the Flyers in pop culture, and how the Flyers logo has been spread over the years, and you know, things like you know, TV shows. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the Goldbergs. You know, how the Flyers, but behind the scenes person, has had many music groups wear Flyers jerseys over the years, from Metallica to Taylor Swift to Billy Joel. And there's a lot of strategy in getting these jerseys on these famous people, because, you know, they get filmed with it and the pictures go worldwide. So there's a lot of that in the book too. I really like that chapter because it's kind of unique. We talked to David Boreanaz, the SEAL team, because he manages to get the Flyers jersey in a lot of his episodes, and so that's kind of a different chapter. That's in a way hockey related, but it's a fun chapter too, because you don't really expect you know, a Flyers jersey to pop up in a TV show or in a movie. You know, but it does, and there's a lot that goes on that make that happen behind the scenes. So, right. You know, we touch on a lot of different things, from Lauren Hart singing for the last time, singing God Bless America, FaceTiming the late Ed Snyder, and she knew it was the last time she was going to sing it to him, and she did it in front of, like, 19,000 fans, and held up the phone and sang to him, and a few days later it unfortunately passed away. He was very ill at the time. So there's a lot involved in it. And, you know, Wayne Fish, who's covered the team for over 40 years, and I had a good time putting it together. And I think if you're a Flyers fan, I think you'll find it very enjoyable.
It is. The title of the book, The Big 50, Philadelphia Flyers, The Men and Moments That Made the Philadelphia Flyers, and profile some of the biggest personalities that shaped the identity of the franchise. And it's been a true honor to have with us sports writer, longtime writer, the Flyers beat writer with the Philadelphia Inquirer. That is Sam Carcitti, who has been with us tonight at SB Nation Radio. Sam, listen, congratulations. And we'll push this for you real hard during the holidays. And let's have you back on the program and get another update on the Flyers. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it all the time.
Yes, sir.
Have a great day.
You too.
Take care.
Much more coming your way. PGA News and Notes with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, presented to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Improve visibility and save money at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by for their See Better, Drive Safer sale, where you can earn a $15 gift card after a mail-in rebate when you purchase either Sylvania headlight bulks or Bosch Focus or Trico Titan wiper blades. They'll even install your wiper blades for free while you wait. Don't risk your safety because of poor visibility. Let the professional parts people at O'Reilly's help you find just what you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Well, we are going to tee it up and go inside the ropes, and we're going to lead off our conversation with Larry Miller, former PGA pro who joins us each and every week. Check his website out at LarryMillerGolf.com. Good evening, Larry.
Good evening, everybody. Well, winter's here. Get the winter gloves out, the sweaters, and the windbreakers, and the rain suits, but you know what? We're just going to keep trudging on.
That's right. We are going to get you ready. So we're going to lead off our conversation, though, tonight. Let's back up just a little bit, Larry, and talk about Tiger Woods, his 82nd win at the Zozo Championship. And he is now tied first all-time in PGA Tour wins with Sam Snead. So what's your reaction from this historic win that, in my mind, it's kind of impossible to comprehend?
Well, I think this is the coup de grace. I think this really...
Okay, yeah.
Anoints Tiger as the GOAT, the greatest of all time. When you think about it, you know, this has to be the biggest sports story of our lifetime, really. When you think about the comebacks, the multiple comebacks and the travails and the adversity he's gone through, it's just unbelievable that he's like, you know, I'm going to give him a new nickname. He's the big cat with nine lives.
Mm-hmm. And I love that. I mean,
he just keeps coming back. And it's remarkable, the nine surgeries. He just had another one not that long ago, a procedure on his left knee, which is always, you know, it's a troublesome knee for him. But, I mean, just think about, you know, about what he's done and the way he's come back. Most people, and look at the public humiliation he faced in his life. Most people would have just run and hid. You know, they would have just called it a day and sunk back into privacy. And Tiger Woods just keeps resurrecting himself. And this win, it's just unbelievable. You know, I've got to relate to you a story. I've got a good friend who is a 12-year veteran of the PGA Tour. And he's played many times with Tiger. In fact, he's finished second to Tiger in Las Vegas one year.
Wow.
Early in his career. I'm not going to give his name because I don't want other players to feel disrespected by what I'm going to say and what he had to say about Tiger Woods. He told me that Tiger Woods at 85% is better than anybody else on the PGA Tour.
Mm.
And he said when he's 100%, he's just so much better. It's just, and this is a guy who finished second to Tiger, played with him a bunch. He said he is so good and so much better than anybody else that when everything's clicking like it was at the Zozo, when he was feeling healthy and vibrant and his swing was great, you're not going to beat him. And here's what he said about why. The reason he said that he is so much better than anyone else, it's not so much the ball striking, although Tiger's probably the best iron player that ever played the game. It's not so much putting. It's not so much any one thing. What it is, it's from the shoulders up.
Yep.
He said that Tiger Woods manages a golf course in his game so much better than anyone else. It's not even funny. And that's the difference that makes him so elite. Along with his talent, along with all of his natural talent, he's got the smarts up there. in regards to negotiating a golf course. And he is just, you know, it's just a remarkable story. And going forward, there's just no telling what's going to happen now that he's feeling so much better.
Well, and Larry, you know, he's got the grit and he's quitless. I mean, he never gives up. He just keeps coming. And like you said, a cat with nine lives.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, I wouldn't be surprised now. I think Nicklaus's record, 18 majors, has come back into play big time. The way
yep.
his swing looks and the way his body is operating. You've got to believe that, you know, with four or five more years, if he stays healthy, you know, that's 16 or 20 majors that he's, you know, he's going to win a couple and approach Nicklaus's record. And that's going to be an even bigger story if that comes to pass. So we'll have to see. But, you know, but it's remarkable. And as I said, I think it's one of the biggest stories of our lifetime in sports, the way he has just come back multiple times at such a high level against such an elite field of golfers these days.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the voice of Larry Miller, who is a life member of the PGA of America and former PGA Tour player. He's the author of four books on golf and performance. That's right. We're talking about Tiger Woods, and Larry joins us each and every week right here at SB Nation. So in your mind, what is more impressive, the 82 wins or the 15 major titles?
Well, I think the 82 wins, I mean, as impressive as the 15 majors are, the 82 wins on the PGA Tour, you know, a lot of players would be happy with one or two wins on the PGA Tour. I mean, you get a guy who gets his card and gets out there and might play for 4 or 5 years and never win. I mean, to win a PGA Tour tournament is really hard and it's so much harder today than it was years ago because of the depth of the field, the quality. So to win is a big thing. But to do it 82 times is just mind-boggling. You know, Sam Snead won 82 times when he only had to beat 4 or 5 players, literally. That's all he had to beat. And Nicklaus was kind of the same way. You know, in his prime, he didn't have that many people he had to beat. Today, you've got to beat 100 people or more. And to win today is a real big thing. He's doing this against top level elite competition and lots of it, not just a few players. And so it makes it all the more remarkable.
So, Larry, in your mind, how long can Tiger keep going? I mean, it obviously, as we're highlighting, just such a remarkable achievement, you know, and you had highlighted just all the injuries and the back, the knee surgeries, and that he still is finding a way to close out and to come up with a W.
Well, he has the will to do it. He has the will to keep his body as healthy as he can, and that takes a lot of work given his history of physical ailments and the procedures he's had. So just to dedicate yourself to keep yourself at that level of shape, you know, for a major sport requires tremendous dedication, time-consuming, and the will to do it. Well, he's got the will to do it. If he keeps and I think what's given him what's driving him, the will to do this, is the fact, and he may not say this, but I think it's below the surface. I think that he's always wanted to beat Nicklaus's record. Mm-hmm. That's always been his biggest goal. And I think that deep down, this is what's driving him and giving him the will to keep working like he's working, to keep at it and give himself a chance. So I think that if as long as he maintains that desire and that will to work like he's doing at it, to give himself a chance, I think that he's going to do it. I think that he can do it. If he doesn't have any major physical setbacks, I don't see any reason why he's not going to win 2 or 3 more major tournaments.
Well, the future certainly looks very bright after that Zozo Championship. Expectations seem to continue to go up. How many events do you think he's going to play in 2020?
I think he's going to ramp up the schedule some, given the shape he's in and the way he's playing. And I don't think he's going to make the mistake that he made last year. And I think partially, I say mistake, but I think it was really due to worrying about his physical condition. But I think that he's going to play more leading up to major events. Last year, he kind of went into them rusty and without any you know tournament experience the week before or 2 weeks before. And so by the time he got to the major, he was a little bit rusty and didn't get it going until late in the tournament, if at all. I think this year, I think he's going to play more leading up to the majors to give himself a better chance. So I look for him to increase his schedule, his workload, you know, pretty good this year, as long as he stays, you know, in the shape he seems to be in right now.
It is Friday night. If you're just joining us, we are Inside the Ropes with former PGA Tour player Larry Miller, author at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Hey, I got to ask you this, Larry. If you could borrow one aspect of Tiger's game, what would that be? What would you make it as your own?
Well, for me personally, I'm pretty good at course management and negotiating
for
a golf
sure.
course.
With yes.
my experience, I feel like I'm pretty good there. What I would take Tiger's iron game from the 3-iron through the 7-iron. There's never been a player in the history of golf that has been as good with those clubs as Tiger Woods is. His distance control is unbelievable. He's pinned high a lot of the time, and that's a big key to making birdies. His driving, lots of players drive the ball long and far and straight. And lots of players, you know, have good putting strokes and putt well and chip well and pitch the ball well and have good wedge games. But very few players from the 3-iron through the 7 hits as many greens with as much proximity to the hole as he has done his whole career. That's the part that I would like to have. And I think that I think my scoring has come down pretty good.
Okay, so Larry, put on your coaching cap. Like, what is the key to distance control? Because we all want that, right? We want to be pin high so that we're trying to roll in those birdie babies.
Well, you know, it's a lot of it is feel and just kind of the intuitive feel for the distance. You know, I'll give you an example. When I grew up playing, we didn't have yardages on the sprinklers. We didn't have any yardage markers in the fairway. Didn't have range finders. The way we judge distance was with our eyes, and we'd look at the flagstick.
Wow.
And you'd see about how tall it looked from where you were, and you uh-huh. could kind of gauge how far it was. And to this day, in fact, Connie, my wife Connie, calls
yes.
me the human rangefinder
because I can. I love it.
Oh yeah, she'll get the rangefinder uh-huh. out to look at the distance, and I'll tell her 143, and I'll say, "What was it?" She'll say 142 or 144. She's like always amazed.
Incredible.
At that. But it's just from 60 years of experience of looking at it, and I can tell within a yard or two the distance almost all the time. So the key to it is feel, and the other part of it is ego. You know, a lot of players want to hit a lesser club because it makes them feel like they're, you know, stronger players. You know, they'll say if their playing partner hit an 8-iron, but they don't hit it quite as far, they'll try to hit the 8-iron just to keep up with them, and they'll come up short. You've got to let ego out of the way, and you've got to always take enough club. I guarantee you 90% of amateur golfers don't take enough club on approach shots, and they end up short. If they would take a half club or a club more, they'd be pinned high a lot more, and they would cut lots of shots off their score.
Hey, just a few more minutes tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, having a compelling conversation with Larry Miller, who joins us each and every week as we go inside the ropes. Okay, so we got to talk about one of the intriguing storylines, and is the President's Cup. And I was listening to an interview Freddie Couples had with Tiger Woods this week, and boy, it sure sounds like Tiger's going to pick himself. So no surprise there. What do you think?
Well, I said before he won the Zozo that he should pick himself. You know, I said because of his history at match play and his leadership qualities, and a lot of players look up to him. He's inspiring to a lot of players. He inspires players just having him around. So I said he should play before he won the Zozo. Now it's a slam dunk. I mean, he after winning this tournament, the way he played, how could you not have him on the team? He's hot. He's on a roll. That's what you want going into an event like this, is you want players who are ascending and got momentum going. So, yeah, absolutely, 100% for that.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 1, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin former PGA pro Larry Miller. Speaking of the President's Cup, what lessons do you think the U.S. team learned from the Ryder Cup loss in Paris?
They seem to be better team players than the Americans, who are more individualistic, sort of, you know. And I think, you know, part of it's due to the nature of the tour and the money that they play for. You know, they just don't have the same camaraderie. So that's what they need. They need that in the locker room. But, you know, we're stacked in talent, and it's just a matter of getting the right players together, you know, getting the pairings, the chemistry of the pairings just right. And I think Tiger Woods is going to really be good at that. I think he's going to be really helpful in that regard.
Okay, the President's Cup, we think of the Ryder Cup. Let's talk about the value of momentum. I mean, it's very meaningful. And when you start getting those putts going at the right time, talk about just momentum and how that plays into all of it.
Yeah, and just like in any other sport, too, you see it all the time. You know, a team gets on a roll, and then the momentum builds, and they for a short time, they're unstoppable. And what gets the momentum going in golf are a couple of things. One is a really great up and down. If you hit a poor approach shot,
for sure,
you know,
yes.
You give yourself a difficult up and down, but you get it up and down, mm-hmm. save par. A lot of times, that's a lot more important than making a birdie, because that keeps a round going that could have resulted in a bogey or double bogey and really derailed the round. Also, a putt, an unexpected putt, like a 30-footer or a 40-footer that you roll in all of a sudden, unexpectedly, that can get the juices going and get you pumped up. So, you know, you try to create the momentum by working on those aspects of the game. One of my teachers told me to practice a lot of 30 and 40 footers because it's a longer rhythmic stroke instead of a 3-footer where it's a shorter stroke. It brings rhythm more into the stroke when you have a 30 or 40 footer. It's a longer swing. And so you practice that. And you also, when you practice around the greens, you don't just throw balls down in one spot. You throw them all over, take about 10 or 12 balls, scatter them all around the green, behind bunkers and everywhere, and go around getting those up and down and practice those. And that gives you confidence next time you have a difficult pitch.
Well, the countdown is on for the President's Cup. We love having a conversation each and every week with Larry Miller. He is simply the best as we go inside the ropes. Check out his website, LarryMillerGolf.com. And Larry, we will talk next week. Thank you so much, my friend.
Great. It was great. And I got to tell you real quick.
Yes, sir.
Last night for Halloween, I took a left-handed driver and I swung it. I went around swinging at 120 miles an hour and I was Stephen Campbell. That's what I went at.
A vicarious thrill, wasn't it? Outstanding. Larry, have a great weekend. Love to Connie.
See you next week.
You
Bye-bye.
Bet. Hey, much more coming your way. The next generation of sports radio. That is SB Nation Radio. Come on back.